Uncertainty is a normal part of life. But it's part of life that often makes us fearful and uncomfortable. And we start to doubt in ourselves and in others. Our minds immediately start imagining worst case scenarios, which are usually a lot worse than what actually happens. Maybe you've been between jobs, not knowing what is going to come next, not knowing if you'll have the money to pay bills. Or you began a new job, or really anything new, and started to doubt whether it was going to work out, if you could really do it. Or maybe at some point you've been lost and not sure how to find your way. Can you imagine the uncertainty in a child who gets separated from their parent in a store? It's easy to imagine that child wondering where their parent went and why. Were they abandoned? Did they do something wrong? Did something bad happen? We face uncertainty on small and grand scales every day. Whether it's wondering what we're going to do tomorrow or what our nation will be like a year from now. And especially in this election year, a lot of people are going to be stressed by the uncertainty of our future. We might even begin to doubt things that we believed to be true, things we had put our trust in that guided us. What if you got into trouble for reporting a problem at work, even though you believed it was the right and good thing to do? Would that make you think twice next time? Or maybe you tried to help someone and instead of being grateful, they got angry. Wouldn't that make you doubt how you should act in the future? Uncertainty, fear, doubt, they're all tied up together. And that was what the disciples were facing when Jesus was murdered. They wondered, was their movement over? Had everything they worked for with Jesus been for naught? They had seen Jesus killed. They feared that they were going to be next. And so they locked themselves together in a room, not knowing what else to do, not knowing what the future held for them. Now, according to John's gospel, Mary had told them that she had seen Jesus outside the tomb in which his body had been buried. But that must have only added to their uncertainty. What were they to think? Was Jesus really dead or was he alive? And in the midst of all of this uncertainty, the disciples experienced the risen Jesus for themselves, and they're reassured. Now, Jesus doesn't take away the uncertainty of their future. He doesn't promise them that they're always going to be safe from persecution. But he helps them face that uncertainty, even to embrace it. And research shows that people with a higher intolerance for uncertainty may be less resilient, more prone to depression and anxiety. And so it seems like it would follow that if we can figure out how to face our uncertainty, even be a little bit more comfortable with it, we might find ourselves less anxious and more positive, happier, more peaceful. Now, peace is what Jesus brings the disciples. And peace here doesn't mean an absence of violence. In the Hebrew culture, peace was closely associated with justice. One finds peace by doing what is right and just, by living faithfully in relationship with God. Peace is created by our experience of and our trust in God. Peace has a kind of confidence to it, the trust that all will be well despite the uncertainty. Peace accepts that we can't control everything. We can only do what we can do, and that will be enough. The disciples' experience of Jesus in that locked room reassures them that they can continue to trust God, and it gives them peace. Empire, those who would rule by violence and oppression, could not stop God's love. Jesus, God's love incarnate, is still with them. And Jesus tells them, as God sent me, so I'm sending you. In other words, the work and the ministry isn't finished yet. Yes, there is much uncertainty, but trust God. The disciples are asked to face their uncertainty by living into it, by giving their fear and doubt over to God and doing what they know is right. And then Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit once more, reassuring them, reminding them that God hasn't abandoned them, but will always be with them. And we too can put our trust in God's guidance because God will always be within us. Nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. Now, unfortunately for Thomas, he wasn't there. He wasn't gathered in that room with the other disciples, which makes me wonder a little bit where he was and what he was doing. Maybe he wasn't as scared as the other disciples. I don't know. We're not told. But we are told that he didn't have this experience of Jesus. And when they tell him what they experienced, he's skeptical. Thomas asks, how can I believe? How can I trust in that which I haven't experienced for myself? And Thomas gets a bad reputation for what we call his doubt. But he wasn't asking for anything more than what the other disciples had already experienced. And actually, I think a bit of skepticism is actually healthy for us. Especially today when so many people seem to believe anything they read in print or see on TV. We see conspiracy theories and outright lies embraced by people, and it boggles my mind. Now, I'm sure what they're hearing must be striking a chord, giving them some kind of outlet for fear and anger, even if it's not a very healthy outlet. Sometimes we need a little bit more skepticism about what we're told. Sometimes uncertainty is a good thing, and we need to be, I think, more like Thomas. We perhaps need to stop and ask, how do we know what is true? How do we know what and who we can trust? And of course, reason and logic and science are all important parts of the answers to those questions. But I think the story of Thomas also suggests that experience makes a difference. A week after the disciples' initial encounter with Jesus, they experience him again, and this time Thomas is present. And Jesus tells him to see for himself. Don't persist in your unbelief, but believe. And Jesus here is talking about more than believing in a fact. The Greek word that we translate as believe also has connotations of trust and faith and loyalty. It isn't about believing that Jesus was risen. I think it's about experiencing the living God in the midst of our uncertainty and reaffirming our trust in the divine. It's about putting our trust in and faithfully following God's love incarnate, a love that cannot be killed. Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed," which I might paraphrase as those who trust in God, even when they aren't experiencing the divine, will be blessed. Because sometimes it's easier to feel God's presence with us than at other times. Sometimes we might feel abandoned, uncertain, full of doubt, like those disciples in the locked room, like a lost child. But if we continue to trust that God is with us, if we continue to trust in the healing power of God's love, if we live into our fear and uncertainty in that trust, then our lives will be blessed with new and abundant life as God accompanies us through our doubts, through our struggles. But I think we should also remain open to the experience, that experience of the risen Christ, the experience of the living power of God's love. How do we do that? How do you experience God in your life? How do you listen and connect with that divine power? Well, there's a poem, unknown author, that kind of expresses one way we might see and experience God in this world. experience the risen Jesus still today. And the poem goes like this. I saw Jesus last week. He was wearing blue jeans and an old shirt. He was up at the church building. He was alone and working hard. For just a minute, he looked a little like one of our members. But it was Jesus. I could tell by his smile. I saw Jesus last Sunday. She was teaching a Bible class. She didn't talk real loud or use long words, but you could tell she believed what she said. For just a minute, she looked like my Sunday school teacher. But it was Jesus. I could tell by her loving voice. I saw Jesus yesterday. He was at the hospital visiting a friend who is sick. They prayed together quietly. For just a minute, he looked like Brother Jones, but it was Jesus. I could tell by the tears in his eyes. I saw Jesus this morning. She was in my kitchen making my breakfast and fixing me a special lunch. For just a minute, she looked like my mom, but it was Jesus. I could feel the love from her heart. I see Jesus everywhere, taking food to the sick, welcoming others to their home, being friendly to a newcomer. And for just a minute, I think there's someone I know, but it's always Jesus. I can tell by the way they serve. May someone see Jesus in you today. And I think this poem is a great reminder of God's love still alive in the world. It truly cannot be killed. God's love lives within us through the Holy Spirit. Love is the thing that we can trust. Putting our trust in the living power of God's love is, I think, how we can face the uncertainty in our lives and in the world. Letting love live through us, answering God's call to send us into the world to be love. Reaching for that vision of God's kingdom that we read about in the book of Acts, this early community of believers. Now, in the Acts, they're talked about in what we read as an idealized community. And we know human community is messier than that. And if you read further in Acts, you find that out. We all have our problems and our foibles, as did that early group of Jesus followers. But it's a vision of community that I think God calls us to strive for. It's the vision of a community that faces uncertainty with love and trust, that testified to the power of Jesus' resurrection by their support and compassion for each other. When we live in love for God and each other, we live with one heart. We care for each other, giving of ourselves to those who are in need. When we face uncertainty, we need not hide in fear, locking ourselves away. Embrace uncertainty and put your trust in God. Instead of fearing what might happen, we can open our hearts to the experience of God's love, letting it flow into us and through us into the world, bringing assurance, peace, and hope. May someone see God's love in us this day. Amen.